Greetings, my friends. This is the brain of TV's Pinky in the Brain, and you are listening to This Week in Geek with Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the Twig crew. Twigs. Come to think of it, Pinky, I have not used twigs in any of my latest plans for world domination. If this works, then Mike and the crew will rule by my side. Yes!
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame death party!
Guys, welcome out to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am one of your many hosts this week. Well, technically two hosts this week. Well, three if you count the call-in. I am Mike the Birdman Dodd. I'm joined with
Mr. Christopher.
That's right. We are back here on a exciting weekend edition of the Twig Show. And this one is dedicated to E3. This one is sort of our midpoint for our E3 coverage, as we will be having yet a prototype wrap-up of the show coming up later this week as we talk about the big three press conferences. Me and Tristan will be talking about Microsoft and EA today, primarily in our news segment, but we'll also have reviews of 12 Strong from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment, Detroit Become Human from Sony Interactive Entertainment, and we'll also have a visit down the Devil's Grocery Aisle with Satan's Pantry, as always. But we always start off the show by letting you guys know what is going on in the world of Twig. A little bit of housekeeping. We had some problems with the RSS feed last week. As far as I understand, that's been fixed. RSS feed should be now redirected. So if you had any problems, please give us an email. feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We can let our web team know, which is Steve Megatron Phillips and Alex, the producer. They typically make things work and make things not suck.
They're tech support.
Tech support, because I am not smart enough to run this website on my own. Not anymore, anyway. I know enough to put the show. There used to be a whole process. We had a flow chart. Have you done X? If you have not done X, have you done this? And it was a whole process, and it took me like a year to learn. And now it's like, oh God, I'm so stupid. Please help.
Because that's why big shows have a lot of people and team members and stuff, because you have your specialties. Your strengths, yeah. Your weaknesses, so.
Like, it was so hard to run this show by myself for, 2 years when it was more or less just me handling all the back-end stuff. I knew just enough to be competent and just enough to be dangerous if I fucked something up. So I was like, oh, thank God, there's
Uh-oh.
People to help.
Uh-oh, what did I do? What did I do? What did I do?
Oh, my God. The amount of times Twig has caused panic attacks in me is ludicrous. But my week has been spent mostly playing Detroit Become Human, which you'll hear later on in the show. I've been reading a new RPG, which I should have a review out in like a week or two. Probably two, just because of E3 coverage right now. And that is Uprising, the dystopian universe game brought to us by, I think it's Evil Hat Productions. They make Fate Core. I also will be reviewing Modern AGE, which is the system, sort of like a variant that Will Wheaton's Titan's Grave was based on, like fantasy AGE. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. I could technically hack together my own Shadowrun if I wanted to, I guess. I don't know. I'm kind of excited to try this rule set out on you guys this summer, because it's a really cool rule set. Cambridge Chronicles came to an end. Season one.
We completed our adventure, and completed is a strong word.
Yeah. Say, oh boy, did you ever complete it? Holy shit.
It came to its conclusion.
Yeah, that's one way to put it. So please go check that over at terriblewarriors.com. I think it's /Cambridge. But yeah, go check that out. Justin spoke with us about a week and a half ago where we talked about the future of Cambridge Chronicles. We're recording Marvel in like a week and a half, I think, which should unite the core crew back together. Then we're going to have some different guests come in over the course of the summer. We're going to take a little bit of a break on Cambridge Chronicles because it's going to get balls hot before we decide what our next long form game is. I know Alex has a World War I game planned. He's been talking about for a while. Starfinder we're supposed to try out this summer as well. So that should be a lot of fun. I understand you're doing more stuff with your YouTube channel. You've recently uploaded.
Yes, I'm trying to make a focus on World of Warcraft, of course, and my how to pick a new class for a new expansion video has seemingly gained some attention. Out of nowhere, it seemed to strike a few thousand views. I now have 174 subscribers. As of 4 days ago, I had 80, so it's been quite a growth in the channel. That's very exciting. So now I'm almost nervous because I've set the bar for quality, and I want to make sure I keep delivering on that. But with Battle for Azeroth coming out on August 14th, there's a lot of things to potentially talk about and things people want to know. So I'm inviting people to ask me questions for me to make videos and topics on now in the future.
You know what? I'm going to put you right on the spot right now regarding your YouTube channel. Sell me on World of Warcraft. That's your next video, or one of your next videos.
Why should you buy World of Warcraft, Battle for Azeroth?
Yes, as someone who's never played the franchise, how do you sell someone to jump into this deep pool of lore, gameplay? How do I make friends? How do I get a party? I'm a complete noob with this. I will fully admit, I am ignorant of everything I do not know. And in World of Warcraft, sure, I have the RPG. I haven't cracked it open, though I got it for Christmas 1 year. I think it was Ken that gave it to me. So thank you, Ken, if you're listening. And I want to. World of Warcraft is, I feel it's the one geek merit badge I haven't yet earned yet. Like if we were in Boy Scouts or something, I haven't got my Hoarder Alliance badge yet. And that's about as far as my knowledge goes. Actually, I even have the World of Warcraft movie. Haven't watched it yet, but I got it.
It's a movie.
It's a thing?
It's a movie. The first time I watched it was in a drive-in. And that kind of ruined the experience because everyone was leaving because it was a double feature and it was the second movie. And so people were constantly turning their cars on and leaving. I couldn't hear a damn thing. Oh. So that ruined the experience. And of course, the movie itself actually isn't really that good at all. So that also ruined the experience.
That's terrible. I hate it when stuff like that happens because going to the drive-in, it's a proud summer thing that you have to do. You know what I mean?
It is. And I think that's the first time I actually went to a drive-in. It was a double feature, Secret Life of Pets, which was pretty good. I enjoyed that movie. It's cute. And Warcraft. And the mosquitoes ate me alive because for some reason my blood tastes really great, apparently. So overall, I rate my experience like a 5 out of 10. But I know it could be a lot better. If the movie was better, people would shut the hell up and mosquitoes would fuck off.
Man, I used to go to the drive-in all the time when I was a kid. I used to have this friend. His name was Neil, and he worked at a pizza place. And certain nights he'd have off. Usually he'd always book off the long weekends because they'd always have quadruple features. They'd call it From Dusk Till Dawn. So you'd get two newer movies and two older movies. And we'd go there and we'd watch the movies. And we go to this breakfast at this place called Golden Donuts. It's no longer there anymore, in a place called Owen Sound. And we'd have this is the definition of the greasy spoon diner with the sketchy old people and everything. The plates you're pretty sure might be clean. But there was always the chain-smoking waitress, which she was awesome. Her name was Dar, and we always just called her Mom. Because she was so good to it. Like,
that's
literally
great.
It's like it was ripped out of the 1980s or something. It was so awesome. And it even had those weird little ketchup bottles that were like that like you could squirt. You know what I mean? It was like,
oh yeah.
It was so stereotypical. It was so awesome. Man, there are times I miss Owen Sound for little things like that, but times change, properties get developed, and sometimes your favorite places aren't there anymore. In fact, my local drive-in place I was just talking about, no longer there anymore. It's gone. And it was in the movie, I think, Swingers, They're with Vin Diesel. They go to a drive that has this big Indian head on it. That's where I grew up. So there you go. Little piece of trivia there for you. Anyway, guys, we're going to talk about E3 this show. You're going to be excited as we talk about the EA press conference, the Microsoft press conference. By the time this goes up, Bethesda will have happened or is happening. So anyway, stay tuned right here on thisweekingeek.net for all your latest geek coverage and news. But before we go any further, here is my review of Detroit Become Human.
Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Everything will be all right.
We are looking at Detroit Become Human, available exclusively on the PlayStation 4, coming to us from Quantic Dream and Sony Interactive Entertainment. This is a game that came out to a lot of people being really excited for it because it is a David Cage game. If you had a chance to check out previous titles such as Heavy Rain, you kind of know what you're in for. Sort of an interactive story that has some gameplay elements to it. And this game is not much different than that, although I would argue there are significantly more quote-unquote gameplay events, which basically turn into doing, could be something as simple as pouring a cup of coffee, or it could be something as involved as dodging bullets in a gunfight by pressing, you know, the square or the circle, or moving one of your directional buttons at just the right time. It's basically, it's a series of quick time events or really simple button presses. But what draws you in here is the story. The story is, this is a futuristic Detroit, home of my favorite cyborg, RoboCop. But this takes place in the near future of 2036, over the course of just a couple of days, and follows three separate characters: Connor, Kara, and Marcus. Connor is a prototype advanced sort of investigative android who helps out the Detroit Police Department, so sort of like RoboCop. You also have Kara, who's sort of this housekeeping robot who's helping this father named Todd look after his daughter Alice. And finally, you play looking after yet another famous android, Lance Hendrickson, Bishop. You play sort of his caretaker, sort of looking after this aging painter who's kind of exploring what it means to be human through some of the artwork that he's creating. And he wants Marcus to explore, is he really alive? Can he create? Is he something more than the sum of his biocomponents and his blue blood, so to speak? And what follows is, like I said, it's like an interactive movie which allows you to have choices along the way. And the choices have radically different branching paths. If you miss one button prompt, that could open up a whole new series of decisions. But you also have other NPCs that you can interact with, which, whether they become friendly or hostile towards you, will open up different decision paths for you as well. So technically, no two playthroughs could be the same for you. In fact, this game does encourage multiple playthroughs, though you can go back, replay multiple chapters and multiple decision points, so you can see all the different branching paths. This game should take you anywhere between 7 to 10 hours to complete, especially if you're listening to all the different conversations and you're following as many decision paths as possible. When I went through my playthrough, I tried to go through the full Paragon run-through. Basically, at one point, there's an android uprising, and I chose to lead basically by peace. I wanted to kill nobody. I wanted to use my words. And at one point during the game, is probably one of the most beautiful moments in video gaming history that I've experienced in a little while, and it actually made me tear up a little bit. At one point, you have a choice to either surrender yourself, I think you can kiss somebody, or you can start singing. I chose to start singing. And the song is this old world folk tune, and it's incredibly moving. If you follow my personal Facebook, you've seen me post it a couple times over the last couple of days. I'm not going to give too much more away than that, but it's a beautiful moment. But there are some negative things to say about this game. The way it handles its story, despite being really compelling, like I was really invested in Kara and Alice's story because it involves an abusive father running away from him. It does get a little ham-fisted in how it handles social movements such as slavery, segregation, second-class citizenry. Like, you could draw a lot of parallels between this, the 1950s, and the civil rights movement because, well, that's what it's supposed to be. Are androids people? And it comes up, I can't remember where I heard this before. No, it was Mass Effect, where Legion says to Tali Zora, does this unit have a soul? And there were moments like that that I actually experienced in this game, and genuine moments of investment. But like I said, storyline-wise, it gets a little ham-fisted at times. It's a little too on the nose. Sort of like, you will acknowledge this metaphor. But other than that, there are some minor gameplay things. I played this with the simplified button interface because I didn't want to be distracted while I was playing. You could have advanced button presses or simplified button presses. I went with simple. And that's how I recommend you play this game, is via the simple way. It doesn't change any decision paths, really. It's just how much more effort do you want to put into opening a door or pouring a cup of coffee, or it might make the combat sequences a little bit harder. One tip I'm going to recommend, if you're going through this game, don't replay your decisions the first time through. Just live with it. Just go with it. Because that's how life is. Sometimes you don't always get a second chance. Just do it. See how your story plays out. And I hope you get a chance to get as invested in these characters as I did. Because I really think Detroit Become Human is one of the best games on the PlayStation. Definitely one of the best looking. The acting is fairly consistent throughout. Hell, we even get an appearance from Tom Clancy, the good old Kurgan. He plays your partner Hank in Connor's section. And it's a fantastic game. I really can't recommend it enough. If you're going to buy one game this spring, then if you haven't bought God of War already, I highly recommend you check out Detroit Become Human. It is available now exclusively on the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 4 Pro.
Everything will be all right. We will sing on just a little while longer. Sing on.
Thank you, Mike. Detroit, or Detroit, as you might be calling it.
Shaking my head at you right now. It looks Detroit, goddammit.
It looks good. I haven't had a chance to play it. I hear I'm supposed to be playing it anytime I have the chance.
So, yeah, it's one of those games I didn't expect to affect me on an emotional level. As I mentioned during my review, there's a point where the characters sing, actually teared up. I can think of three games that have done that to me in my life. Mass Effect 3, Chrono Trigger, Illusion of Gaia. Two of those are Super Nintendo games, one from the last generation. So that should tell you how rare crying for me is in a video game.
It takes a lot to really inject that emotion into a game. Like, there's emotions you can have, but a lot of it comes off as just almost preaching and trying to say a message and shoehorn it in there.
Yeah, this game, I will admit, is a little hammy with it. Like, it's a little heavy-handed. But you know what? I think it handles it well. And at some point, we're going to have this conversation as artificial intelligence continues to evolve. It's only a matter of time before a machine says, I think, therefore I am. Or I feel. Or I want. When the second that happens, I'm not saying it's going to turn into the Skynet apocalypse, despite what Stephen Hawking might say. But anyway. So, you've come here for E3 news. Boy, do we have some for you. We got some thoughts and opinions on it. As of this recording, we are literally just probably about an hour and a half out of the Microsoft conference. We're just waiting on Bethesda to start. And the first press conference started out with EA Play, which was on Saturday, where Electronic Arts decided to show off all its cool new wares for the upcoming video game season, otherwise known as Holiday and beyond. And, well, they certainly filled an hour.
They filled it with a bunch of
crap.
Yeah.
This was their worst presser in years.
And they really needed it to be good. They've had so much negative press in the last year.
Like, something that happened during this is Star Wars Battlefront 2, which is supposed to be their big thing, right? This was an apology presser for them. They're like, the guy comes out, he looks really super nervous in his big dork glasses. And he's like, all right, guys, we've made some really big promises, and we have really... we owe it to you, the community. And we've changed the entire progression system. And he comes out, and basically it's 2.5 minutes of apology. And then he's like, oh yeah, we're adding General Grievous, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Count Dooku. I'm sure I'm missing someone.
Like Anakin.
Yeah, Anakin. And we're also going to be focusing on Geonosis and the Clone Wars era. So I'm expecting to see Kamino in there. I want Geonosis. I'm trying to think, where's another planet they visit there? Tatooine was in Attack of the Clones very briefly when they went to when Anakin killed all the sand people.
Yeah, but no battles really happened there.
No.
Isn't Naboo already at part of Battlefront?
Jabba's Palace, I think. But that's in the Solo content, which is season 2 for them, which is cool that it's free because Lando looks fucking badass.
It feels like they're kind of trying to pull an origin here and not an origin, sorry. You know Ubisoft here. And take a game that flopped off the release and turn it around.
Yeah, kind of like what they did with For Honor by doing seasons with it, which is very smart. Now, they did announce a new Star Wars game with Jedi Fallen Order, and that's from Respawn, the guys who did Titanfall. So that should be quite cool. They didn't say anything more.
It's frightening. EA recently pulled the plug on a single-player Star Wars game.
That was 1313, right?
I believe so.
Which I really wanted that to come out because it looked friggin' cool.
So,
but no.
I'm waiting with bated breath on this one. I'd love to have another Star Wars single player adventure. It's been a while and they usually end up being a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I don't want to see this one go down the drain. I don't want to see EA corrupt this one and have it turn blah, 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 all those cliches. I'm nervous.
Yeah. I want a good single Star Wars game too. If there's multiplayer to it, great. Or give me a cool lightsaber combat simulator. Hell, if you could put the physics of For Honor with that technical level but add lightsabers into it, that would be awesome. Hell, you know what game had the best lightsaber combat that you could technically control, in my opinion? It was the movie adaptation of Revenge of the Sith. That game is a hidden frigging gem of a game on the PS2 and the original Xbox. Nobody believes me. Check it out. If you can find it for like $5, it's totally worth it. Another thing they showed off there is obviously Battlefield V. Not 5 minutes goes by. By the way,
Battle Royale!
Holy shit. Okay, cool, whatever.
We're all so surprised. But in its defense, Battlefield is the genre, is the game series, is the license that was kind of already doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a true battle royale like it is now, but it's you go back through all the last 20 years of gaming, the game that would be the most resembling of a battle royale is probably Battlefield.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm okay with it. Cool, you get to play as a woman during the Second World War. I'm not sure where it takes place. I don't know too much more other than the fact that there's huge friggin' LNGs in it. So whatever, it looks cool. One thing that EA totally dropped the friggin' ball on, I could not believe this. They spent like 10 minutes on this. They had two guys went like, here are two Twitch streamers, Nick at Night and Floobity-Doo.
I don't know. Some other fuck.
Yeah, some other asshole playing Command & Conquer Mobile. Who gives a shit?
Nobody cares about mobile gaming except the whales that are playing
these
games.
Although, yeah, it's funny because there was a PR agent I follow on Twitter, and she made a very good point and kind of directed at us almost even. She said, people like us don't understand how much money mobile games make. It's true, we don't. Obviously, but you just point out, it's the whales that keep that market going.
But are the whales watching E3?
Yeah, no, they don't care. They just E3... want to play something and take a dump.
I don't know. It feels like, I know E3 is a lot about the investors, so maybe I get why they would show something like that, because there is a lot of money in mobile games. But it's not exciting for the average gamer, the average consumer. Oh, who the hell cares? Command and Conquer on mobile? I don't want that.
Yeah, like, whoopee-doo.
I don't want that. And the trailer is almost identical to every other mobile game trailer.
Oh, yeah.
Of this overdone real-life acting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it transitions to the in-game graphics, and I audibly laughed because
yeah,
it's so shitty.
Although I will give the presser a little bit of credit because the presenters were trying so hard. The guy who was commentating it was like, oh man, look at him. He's got 2 out of 3 bases. He's going to launch a missile. He's going to win. Oh, he's got it. Nick at Night's got him on the ropes. And he's trying. And the woman they had who was the host of the event, mm-hmm. she tried so hard. And to her credit, she's like, hey guys, are you excited? Audible crickets. You could have heard a mouse fart in there. That's how quiet it was. It was holy shit. That room was dead. I felt bad for her.
I wasn't able to tune in live, but I have heard that on at least one occasion there was an actual audible from the crowd. Like when you mentioned Battlefield's Battle Royale, you can hear the audience groan.
Oh yeah. Well, because everybody's jumping on it. Call of Duty Black Ops 4, we got this, we got PUBG, we got Fortnite, we got Realm Royale, H1Z1. I'm sure I'm leaving out a couple of them.
Oh yeah, I guarantee it's the new survival zombie genre.
There was a tweet that I put out this week. And it was the Mr. Meeseeks scene in Rick and Morty where, like, I didn't do this. You roped me into this. Well, he roped me into this. And it's all the different Battle Royale games arguing with each other. And I was just like, yep, that's going to be E3 this year. However, though, they did salvage it by announcing a couple of new games. There was Unravel 2, which is available now. I sadly don't care.
Yeah, I gotta
say. It looks neat,
okay.
But it's not my thing.
Okay.
Like, all right. They announced Sea of Sorrow. Again, not my game. Looks interesting concept, though.
Yeah, I like those kind of cerebral games that make you think.
Yeah, it's like it wants to deal with mental illness and everything. And I'm thinking, all right. The more depressed you get, the harder the world gets. And I'm thinking, all right. That's an interesting gameplay mechanic. All right, you got my attention. If I get it for review, I'll play it. But I'm not going to drop $20 on it. Really surprised they didn't announce Skate 4, because that's mm-hmm. been rumored, because that, like, evidently someone put out on Twitter, so take this with a grain of salt, that they just turned on the Skate 3 servers again, and
really?
I figured that was, oh man, Skate 4, that'll be cool. I'm guessing it was a misinterpretation of, Session, which is a game that Microsoft just announced. The women folk are home, so you're going to hear some noise in the background for just a
bit of crinkle crankle, as it were.
Crinkle crankle.
What I can see with Skate 4 is perhaps it's in development, but they've come into too many technical difficulties, maybe some creative problems, and now they just have
they
to take a step
back. They don't want another Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Yeah, they don't want to say, oh, hey, yeah, here's our announcement when the game's half ready and just not in any presentable form.
Speaking of games that are have to be ready and ready to go, this is the big piece to come out of the EA press conference. Anthem. We showed extended story. I don't remember any gameplay.
No.
And they dated it for February 2019.
No.
So they have just a little under a year to get this thing ready to ship. And once again, from the great collective hive mind that is Twitter, decided to declare, this is the game that decides whether BioWare sinks or swims. And it's true. If this game does not sell well, BioWare is in trouble.
Yeah.
Because they have no Mass Effect. They've openly said, we're going to put this game on ice for a little while. And I don't know. Now, I was surprised that they didn't show gameplay. I'm really surprised they didn't show a teaser for Dragon Age 4. The prediction I made on Twitter, I was hoping Mass Effect HD Trilogy Remaster available Christmas. Because what's EA's big game this year outside of FIFA, Madden, and NBA Live? Sports titles this year. There was no new Need for Speed. Command & Conquer Mobile, who gives a rat's ass? Unravel 2, you're not selling systems for that. there was no major wow factor. Yeah, there was no Owen Wilson factor.
There was no hook for EA's presentation.
Yeah, and that's depressing because Battlefield V should have been amazing. That should have got a lot longer on stage than what it got. I was like, we have fully destructible environments and tanks and, oh, there's Battle Royale. But no, there was just nothing there. And that really, 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 really surprised me. I guess the Star Wars announcement was kind of cool, but the fact that they had the guy from Respawn, whose name escapes me, Vince Stampella, I think his name was. I was going to say David Vondahar. No, that's the guy from Sledgehammer Games. Who does Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he just announced a little bit about Star Wars, whatever. Yeah, this EA's presser sucked. There was nothing exciting about it. Very little news to come out of it. No WoW game this winter. Now maybe E3's not done. Maybe we'll get a surprise announcement, like Skate, for example. But I'm kind of doubting it. So before we throw things over to our discussion on Microsoft's press conference, we're going to throw things over to our good old friend Alex, the producer, and he's going to give his initial impressions of the E3 presser, which happened today. And that's my wife's phone. So we'll be right back right after this.
Incoming message from the big giant head.
Okay, so Microsoft's Xbox presentation just completed, and I wanted to get my thoughts in quickly since I'm not there with Dodd in the studio. I'll have to send this in quickly. This was a lot better than the E3 EA show yesterday. That was hot garbage. This, I'll have to be reserved on my final judgment as to how it stands based on we haven't seen the other two big companies with Sony and Nintendo. We'll have to wait till Tuesday for that. But just made some notes here. It opened with that Halo Infinite. Is that Halo 6? Is it a prequel? Is it something different? They're not numbering it, so I don't know what that is. It looks great, and it's clearly in a new engine. They said that there's 50 games they were going to show off, 18 exclusives. They didn't really say if they're timed exclusives or not, so we'll have to see about that. The first thing I thought was that Ori, Will of the Wisps, was pretty cool looking, but I didn't play the first one. They have that, was it Sekiro, Shadows. Basically, it's like a Dark Souls type game. I think that, they didn't say if that was exclusive, but it was a world premiere. Fallout 4 is on Game Pass as of today, as well as Fallout 76. They had premiere footage of that, and that the game is four times the size of Fallout 4. And I might want to play this because this is sort of a prequel to everything. Don't Nod, the creators of what's it called? They've had a few titles come up, but their big one was Life is Strange, and I loved that title. And it looks like they got another one coming out called Captain Spirit. It said it's free, but I'm assuming that's just for the first chapter. Crackdown 3 is boring and nobody cares about it. That's, or at least that's my opinion. I couldn't give two craps about that game. They're bringing Nier Automata over, which was a PS4 exclusive, and it looks like it's remastered and enhanced for Xbox One X. They showed off some Metro. I'm just not sold on the Metro series. Kingdom Hearts 3, they showed off some Frozen footage in it. And sure, but I still want to play it probably on PlayStation. Sea of Thieves, who gives a fuck, really? Like, nobody cares about Sea of Thieves. Forza Horizon 4, England, looks pretty good, but you have to like the Forza series. And then after that, I sort of got enthralled and stopped paying attention to making notes too diligently. There was a lot of Gears news in this, which is what I'm most excited for. And I've played some of the Gears games, played the first one. There's that prequel that's like, it's like a Halo Wars type thing coming out. That looks entertaining. They've got, and then they finally announced Gears 5, which looks pretty cool. And then they closed off the show with my favorite part, which was just showing off Cyberpunk 2077. Now, I've been waiting a long time for this. This was something on my radar for the last 2 or 3 years where they had just been showing slowly the same basic trailer where they just improved the engine and improved the engine each time. And this time they finally showed some more of the cinematics and some of the what the engine can do. No date yet, as Birdman mentioned in his tweet, but that's because I have a feeling this is probably coming out next summer. I don't think it's dated for this year, so they're not bothering saying. Or they're waiting till they have confirmation. It might even come out later on in the week at another press conference, because this is not an exclusive game. They just happened to get the exclusive world premiere of it. And it was kind of cool how they ended the show with them being hacked and then it was put on. That was kind of neat. So overall, I found that they had a lot more this time than they had last year to show off. They're really focusing on the exclusives, because otherwise they've got nothing, because PlayStation has all the same games then. So I would say they've done a pretty good showing here, and I can't wait to see what comes out next from all the other guys.
Thank you, Alex, for your thoughts on your impressions of the E3 press conference from Microsoft. This was a solid presser. I will say this is probably Microsoft's best showing in years.
It's packed. It's dense.
Yeah, 50 games, 18 exclusives. Now, how many of those are timed exclusives, I'd wonder? But still, it was trailer, trailer, trailer. There was almost no talking. Somebody pointed out on YouTube coverage of this with Jeff Keighley, Angry Joe, Boogie2983 or whatever the fuck his tag, nine Boogie, the fat guy like me. Someone was playing Forza with the Xbox Adaptive controller.
Oh.
So that's cool. So I was really happy to see that. But they led with Halo, Halo Infinite. They were talking with not Phil Spencer, Aaron Greenberg, who's one of the producers at Microsoft. They were asking, what is Halo Infinite? And he described it as the next entry in the Halo series. But it's not Halo 6. He says it's not a numbered Halo entry. Okay. So we're kind of looking at it, trying to figure out, well, what the fuck do you mean?
What would Infinite necessarily allude to?
It looks like it's an open world adventure sort of thing. And that's what Halo was supposed to be. Open world, shooty, shooty, you know, point and tootie or whatever. Rudy, shooty, point and tootie. That's it. And it looks interesting. And the main reason it's not a numbered Halo entry, the Master Chief's armor is an older design. So I'm like, okay, but he openly said this is a story in the Master Chief's universe, which means the game would have to take place between Halo 1 and 2, because between 2 and 3, there's like five minutes.
Yeah, there's not...
He gets sent to Earth, because he gets his ass blown up. And, oh, the Chief's in stasis lock. Better bring him up. And I'm like, okay. So between Halo 1 and 2, I'm okay with that. Or it's an or it happens on Halo before the first game ends. And you play as, like, a Marine. But they openly say it's a Halo story. So with the Master Chief. So I don't know. I'm interested because I know there's a Dave and Buster's arcade game. I think it's called Operation Phoenix or Firefly. I don't know, something like that. But it's a Dave and Buster's arcade game. So that was cool. They showed Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Looks didn't play the first one, but
no,
it looks great.
I know very little about it, but it looks like a good solid platformer with some really interesting visuals.
Oh my god, the game looks gorgeous. So looking forward to that.
It's like a lot of like a particle effects and lighting techniques, and it just looks good.
Yeah, it looks like something that you can show off a 4K TV on. Another game they showed off, now this is done by the same guys who did, I think, Dark Souls. It's being described as Ninja Bloodborne. Huh. And it's called Shadows Die Twice. Yeah, Sekiro.
Sekiro. The hips don't lie.
That's what you're going to call it from now on. But Sekiro, yeah, looks cool.
Shadows Die Twice. From Software.
I am terrible at these games. Oh my god, do I suck.
I have a real soft spot for the Soulsborne series. And I don't know what we're going to call it now. The Soulsborne Shadow series. I don't know. We're really bad at naming stuff as a community.
I don't know. Like, there's something about this game. Because it has ninjas, I'm like, alright, I'm interested now. But Bloodborne had guns. I should have cared. So... I don't know.
Bloodborne's a Victorian-style thing with guns. It's epic in every way, but I still have a hard time playing it because I really suck at that one.
Yeah, I'm terrible at the Dark Souls games. I'm like, welp, that was fun for about 20 minutes. another thing that they showed off, they brought out Todd Howard's the Nintendo guy. Or is it yeah, it's Todd Howard. Todd Howard. He's the guy from Bethesda. He's like the head of game development over there, I think. And he's like, well, we got our press conference later tonight. So Phil Spencer, blah, 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 gave me a handy. And we're going to talk about this. And it came out and showed Fallout 76. This game looks awesome.
Oh, yes.
Like, holy oh, yes. shit.
True blue Fallout.
It looks like it's got base building in it. It takes place in the foothills of West Virginia. So you're just close enough to D.C., close to the Capital Wasteland. It's
I need four more
times
information.
The size of Fallout 4.
Need more information. What kind of gameplay are we looking at here? What are the features? What's special about this? I can't wait to find out. Bethesda hasn't done their presentation as of recording. They're going to be doing that very soon, though.
I'm nervous if you have to play it multiplayer, because...
I would expect that Bethesda knows better. They're known for their single-player games, so I would expect it to be able to play single-player, but to be strongly encouraged to join with friends and strangers around the world.
See, I mean, that'd be interesting if you could play as, like, a raider gang or something like that. Or, like, a Brotherhood of Steel outpost or some shit like that. That'd be friggin' cool.
I don't know. Probably not. Most people haven't. I believe it was Lord of the Rings Online.
Yeah.
There is a mode where you get to play as orcs. And you get to play as the bad guys for a while, and then you can earn some rewards that way. I would like to see that sort of thing.
Yeah,
take the role
be
of
cool.
enemy factions.
Like, I want something to really bring me in the fall, because it's a prequel before most of the other Fallout games. Prequel before 3, before New Vegas, but definitely before Fallout 4. So I'm very curious to see where it falls in the timeline. Another game that was showing off, it looks really cool, and Alex has been trying to sell me on this series forever. And it's called Life is Strange. This was called The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit. And it's about this little kid who has these D&D-style adventures in his backyard. Like, at one point, he sticks a firecracker in a snowman, runs away, and he, like, moves his hand to blast it like friggin' Tony Stark with a repulsor ray. He's like, take that, Captain Bad Guy! And he comes inside, he's talking to his dad. He's like, Dad, I don't have any friends. When I throw the ball, no one wants to catch it with me. And he's like, Son, I get that, but nobody can tell stories like you. And the kid's like, I know. And it's one of those story-driven games that's got my attention. And I'm just thinking, you know what? You can download, I think, the first episode is available in a couple of weeks, June 26, I think. So that looks interesting. I'm very curious about that.
Episodic games seem to be kind of...
the thing.
I don't want to say on the rise, just a regular and interesting way to deliver game content now.
Yeah, like, I'm really happy, like, Telltale, for example, does the Walking Dead games, and the Walking Dead final season's coming out later on this year. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that series concludes.
Hopefully better than the show will.
Yeah, because now that Rick's leaving, I give not a shit, which sucks. But let's talk about the big elephant in the room. This was supposed to launch last year on November 17th when the Xbox One X launched. Crackdown 3. Do you care?
I saw the trailer and they got Terry Crews on there. I love Terry Crews.
Oh, yeah.
Everything he does is great. But the trailer was extremely underwhelming. The game itself looks horrible.
It looks first gen Xbox One.
It looks clunky. It looks blocky. It just, for a game that's so focused on visuals and explosions and all those crazy violent things you love to let loose with, they don't look satisfying, and that's the whole point of the Crackdown games. Crackdown 1 was fun. Repetitive, but fun. Crackdown 2 was Crackdown 2, and now Crackdown 3 just kind of looks like it's there, and it'll end up underwhelming. I'm not interested.
I mean, I like how your car can turn into a tank. That's kind
of
cool.
There's some neat things, but a lot of their cool concepts don't seem to be pulled off with the satisfying visuals or...
it's not enough to move a system.
It needs to be something visceral. Those games need that feedback, and I don't really feel like that's going
to
be there.
Yeah, like, to me, when I played, say, Saints Row 4, which where you were basically a superhero inside the Matrix, when you whipped a car, you felt the physics of that thing. That thing went flying, and you felt cool. This one, Terry Crews picks up a tank and throws it out of a giant mech suit, and it feels
It's like it goes weird. Gunk, and then like they're both made of the same stuff, and there's not enough of an impact there. You know what I want to see in a Crackdown game? Destructible environment.
Supposedly everything is destructible in that game. Yeah, bullshit. Exactly.
I want the buildings to fall over.
Yeah, like I want to be able to knock down parts of the city to kill enemies, sort of thing. And supposedly it has that. I don't believe it. I really don't. And this game has been dated finally for February. And it's funny how February is becoming the new Broktober. And my theory is because that's the last month before the financial quarter ends. So to boost their year-end sales, you put all your big games in February. So I'm a little surprised. One thing they also showed off, Microsoft showed off another gameplay and trailer for Metro Exodus, which is grimdark Fallout, what I would call it. But it looks cool. It happens in Soviet Russia. You kill mutated monsters. It's all Ruski. And party on, I guess. It looks cool. It looks cool. I can't deny that it looks like an interesting world. I have the Metro games on my consoles. I've played through half of it. And I like the world. I know there was definitely a thing you'll notice. A trend with me, if you will. I got to the part where there was boobs, and then my interest fell out.
What can I say? How that happens.
Yeah, I know. Like, oh, there's no more boobs? Don't care. I'm a horrible, horrible man. One thing that surprised me with how whimsical and how interesting this actually looks now, Kingdom Hearts 3 for the first time on Xbox.
That is a weird sentence. How whimsical Kingdom Hearts looks now.
Well, because it happens in Frozen, and they're like, hey, Olaf, are these people your friends? And they're like, well, I don't know anybody who's blue, a duck, and he looks at Sora. Spiky hair. And I just thought that was so cool. And then Nikki comes out of a portal.
It almost kind of dates yourself a little bit. Because you know that the Kingdom Hearts games are based off of all these Disney stories and bringing in all the Final Fantasy and weaving these worlds together. But it's been so long since Kingdom Hearts 2, and yes, there have been many other
like 10
very strangely named sequels and offshoots and everything else. Mm-hmm. But the core game between 2 and 3, it's been so long that there's an entire phase or generation of new Disney content that's out there that they can draw from.
And like
Tangled and Frozen and Brave, I'm sure, is in
Toy
there.
Story.
Toy Story. More Toy Story. I mean,
and now before. They've got Marvel and Star Wars.
There's a tremendous amount of potential for them to draw from.
Like, my God, this is the... If a game's going to get me into the series, this is it.
I'm going to take Sora and Goofy and Darth Maul.
I want Sora, I want Buzz Lightyear, and I want Tron. That's my team. If I could create any characters, that'd be my badass team. Oh, my God, throw in the D-Rez people. But, yeah, like, it's got so many possibilities to be awesome, and I don't want it to suck.
I just I have a bit of a picky ear when it comes to things like this. And the trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3 was very obviously unfinished.
Dubbed. Yeah, because the voices sounded too clean.
Yeah, the voices were extremely clean. You can tell they weren't inserted properly into the environment. There was no panning or shifting or anything done to them. It's just basically their raw voice from the studio.
Because, yeah.
And as well, the voices sound great, but it's off.
Yeah.
And it bugs me.
Because there were people that I know in the industry who were playing a demo a few weeks ago, and the game, the Japanese audio is there, but not the English. So when I was listening to the trailer, I'm like, why does this sound weird to me? And I thought it was just me, so thank you. I'm not fucking crazy.
No, you're validated. They sounds weird because it's just not done yet. They got as far as they could, and it sounds like it's going to sound great, but as it stands now, it's not there yet.
I hope they port the Kingdom Hearts collection over from PS4. I mean, just put it out in like December as like a holiday thing.
Give me something to spend my gift cards on.
Stuff. Like honestly, it's like a $30 game. Give me an Xbox One X port. Whatever. People will buy it. If there's no port by January, maybe around November. If there's nothing announced, maybe by November, I'll go out. When Twig takes its annual holiday break, maybe I'll go buy the Kingdom Hearts games for PS4 and give it a whirl. Because I really do want to know what the hell is going on, because the series looks cool.
It's a fun series. I don't know it very well. I played about half of the first Kingdom Hearts game, and I've been following kind of from a distance for the rest of it. I understand the whole Heartless and stuff.
I know what the Keyblade does thanks to Screw Attack's Death Battle, and that's about where my knowledge ends, but it sounds cool. The next big thing that that Microsoft announced, because it always does this around this time of year, on October 2nd, we will get Forza Horizon 4, which is the arcade-y type of Forza game, which is the Forza games I like. I don't like the sim ones.
Yeah, the hyper-realistic simulator thing. I can see the appeal, but not for me.
Nope. As far as I know, cars run on magic. Because yes. I am car stupid.
I push the pedal down, and now I'm over there.
Exactly. I know cars take gasoline. But yeah, I mean, it looks cool. There's a changing summer, or there's a changing season system. It's a persistent world, drop-in, drop-out, multiplayer. Your drivatars will always be there, which I purposely make mine the drive like an asshole. So when I appear in other people's games, like, Mike, I fucking hate you. I'm like, I know. I'm a jerk. But I just don't care about this one. Like, once again, you are not buying an Xbox One X to play Forza, even at 60 frames a second. It's a tech demo.
It's, yeah, it's just another iteration without innovation.
And I like that phrase.
It's just shy of boring.
Yeah, I mean, it's
nothing
cool.
New. There's nothing extra to it. It's just, it's updated. And
yeah, like,
well,
yay.
That's nice for the people that really like that series. It's not going to bring in new users to the series. I'm not going to go, oh, hey, there's a new Forza. I think I'll hop into the series now because it drew me in with the same thing that's already there.
I mean, maybe if they did something cool like, hey, here's the DeLorean or the Batmobile.
Yeah, something,
or something weird.
Something zany, something gimmicky, like Soul Calibur 2. Are they bringing Yoda and Link and Darth Vader?
I mean, you could play in one of them. I know you could have the Warthog from Halo, in which case, yay, but still. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if they gave me one of the cars from Rocket League or something. And then Ubisoft showed off The Division 2, which looked cool.
I love it.
Problem number one, the voice chatter.
Nobody.
Oh my God, nobody talks like this.
Nobody ever talks like that.
Amen.
I know when I'm talking with my friends, I can't even say what we talk like because it's just not appropriate.
Exactly. It's vastly inappropriate, bad enough to make your mother blush.
Like if you're playing with strangers, you're just going to call each other names. And if you're playing with friends, you're going to call each other names, but more friendly like.
Yeah, you're going to be like, hey, goofball 572, can you get off your ass and help me? It's not going to be like, hey, Matt, oh, can you go get that supply drop over at coordinates 574?
Oh,
no.
Like there's a hanging parachute. Let's see if I can get this. And, got it. All right. No, you don't say that. You go, oh, there's some shit up there. Bang. Okay, cool. Well, no, another friggin' green, damn it.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to talk like that. It was terrible bad.
I think the only line that I felt real was when that fourth player kind of joined in. It's just like, oh, hey, you know, we got to level you up. Oh, yeah, I need some help. I've been busy.
Yeah.
Okay, that was at least semi-believable because I'm like that.
Yeah, I'm like, I
all
need
of a
help.
Sudden,
please
like,
help.
All the people that I want to play with, they manage to get a week off when a new game drops, and I don't get that. All of a sudden, I'm way behind.
But the gameplay itself looks pretty cool. You fight. It takes place in Washington now. And it looks more like The Last of Us than The Division, but
yeah,
I'm okay with that.
The gameplay itself, it looks like it's a lot
smoother.
It's the core of The Division, but really built on. Like they've added some more nuance to it. They've added some more feel good to it instead of it just being, I can't even explain it. Just it felt a little bit stick figure-y almost. I don't know. It's hard for me to describe how the original Division felt, but there was always something missing as much as it was good and I enjoyed it. And Division 2 looks like it's building on that. It's going to make it more immersive and it sounds so good. Everything sounds crunchy and I really like that.
Yeah, like there's something about the Division 2 that just has me. I want to play this one.
Yeah, as soon as I saw the trailer, I logged onto the website and registered for beta.
I kind of thought it was going to be Splinter Cell, but I'm like, all right, Division 2. But hey, Ubisoft still is to come tomorrow, so we'll wait and see.
Yep, there's still lots of time for more reveals.
Another game that got not announced, but they showed a new trailer for was Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which is not platform exclusive this time around, comes out on September 14th. I'm going to pre-order that tomorrow. I'm looking at my wife right now. You're going to go drop $5 and get this tomorrow. She's giving me the finger. I love the Tomb Raider games. The Crystal Dynamics and Eidos Montreal, they knock it out of the park. These are reasons to own a system. Like, when I played the first Tomb Raider on PS3, I was enthralled. Now, that's a game I tried to platinum. I never try to platinum anything. And I was in that game for weeks at a time. When Rise of the Tomb Raider came out on the Xbox, I remember I had that game 2 weeks early. Didn't leave my bedroom because that's all I was playing for 2 weeks. And it was just amazing. Shadow of the Tomb Raider looks just as much of the same. Exciting gameplay. Lore's character model has been updated. Although it's weird. I actually was watching the new Tomb Raider movie today, and I kind of wonder if they based the visual or the likeness on her a little bit, but anyway, still looks kind of cool. They also showed some random skateboarding game, Session.
Oh yeah, just kind of out of nowhere, just there like a good 10, 15 years too late.
Now, someone on Twitter, a guy I trust, he's from an internet channel. He used to be a part of Machinima, but then he left and he's doing a new channel called Internet Today. They're the guys from ETC, and it was Ricky. Ricky for the win on Twitter said, "This game controls like garbage. Has nobody learned how to make a skateboarding game in the last 15 years? They better fix this because this is fucking terrible." That breaks my heart. I want a good skate game or something that feels like Tony Hawk. If I could have a game that felt like Tony Hawk, American Wasteland, or Tony Hawk, what was Thug? Tony Hawk Underground.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Hawk Underground 2.
Thug.
I would be so happy. Because I didn't like the ones that came out late-gen Xbox. Not American Wastelands. I liked that one. It was... I can remember the trailer song for it, but I can't remember what the fuck it was. It's going to drive me crazy. Then we showed Devil May Cry 5. That looks cool.
That was Devil May Cry.
But... it's not my Dante, but I have to realize my Dante is gone. I'm stuck with the new guy. And he has a robot arm for some reason.
Why not?
Yeah, because robots. One part that annoyed me about this trailer, I hated the female sidekick. She just came off as just irritating as all shit. Oh my God, I couldn't stand you. Everything else in the trailer looks cool. I mean, when the sidekick was doing sidekicky cool things, she looked awesome. But I just couldn't stand it. But it's Devil May Cry. It's going to be fun. It's going to be cool. I think that got dated for next spring.
Yep.
So probably, I'm going to guess, around April, May. Probably May to build up some hype for E3. Another thing that got announced was Cuphead DLC called The Delicious Last Course, featuring Miss Chalice as a playable character now, joining Cuphead and Mugman.
It's an interesting choice of title for an expansion. It kind of makes you think it's the last one they'll ever do.
Oh, God. If they're smart, they will turn Cuphead into a franchise. But I remember playing Cuphead 4 years ago. And look how long it took that game to come out. So hopefully they're learning to streamline the system.
Mm-hmm. The whole hand-drawn thing, though, makes it really tough.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, visually, yeah. Like, it's going to take forever to make. The gameplay is incredible. I can't beat it. I am not that good. I will never be that good. And I'm going to have to be okay with that. but it looks cool. And I love anything in that 1930s cartoony style. I was going to call it Max Fleischer, but that's more the Superman cartoons of the 1940s. Man, nerd. Something nerd. That looks neat. It's called Jump Force. And it's a massive anime crossover fighting game. It's got Goku, Naruto, Luffy from One Piece, Light and Ryuk from Death Note, Frieza. And I don't know whether it's you fighting enemies or you fighting each other. So I don't know whether it's PvP or PvE.
Strange.
Regardless, it's got my attention. The idea of kicking ass as Goku against Naruto gets my nerd boner going. I would like a character like Issei from High School DxD. No way are they ever going to allow that to happen. Because if you've seen that show, yeah. but his dragon scale mail armor would look so badass. I'm just saying, if you're listening, Namco. Dying Light 2, world premiere. The first Dying Light, did you ever play it?
No, I did not. I missed that one.
Worth it. I hated it at first until... Okay. Small story. Hated the game at first. I'm like, this game is shit. It's fucking parkour zombies. Fuck you. And then I found glitches. I found a way to duplicate the Excalibur. Literally, the fucking sword Excalibur.
Jeez.
There's a rock in the middle of the water, and the sword just spawns there. So I'd reload my save. But weapons break in that game, right? So after so many hits, your weapon breaks. So I'm like, well, fuck you. So I just stored like 9,000 Excaliburs and just run around killing everything. And then they patched it. I'm like, oh, it's less fun now. But then by that time, I was so ridiculously overpowered. I became Batman because you get a grappling hook at one point. So you're literally running across rooftops, Batmaning and killing zombies with Excalibur. And I was thinking, man, this game is fucking awesome.
That's just an epic story in general.
Oh, and then there was one time in that game, side point, they had a monster mode, and I hope they bring this back, where you play as one of the super powerful zombies. And the mode didn't work very well. Nobody played it. Nobody. So I'm one of the first people to play this game. And I found a player from Australia. He has a mic. I don't. And he's like, please don't kill me. So I couldn't communicate with him. And he's like, and he asked me, are you going to kill me? And I had to make my avatar shake its head. I'm like, no. And he's like, really? Will you help me gain experience? Yes. And I'm nodding my head.
Nod.
And we just ran around for like 3/4 of an hour just fucking around. And I think he's still on my Xbox list, actually. This kid was really, 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 really cool about it. But yeah, I'm hoping Dying Light has that built into it because it was so much fun. Kind of like, what else did Microsoft show off?
Well, Sea of Thieves. The Cursed Sails and Forsaken Shores expansions were announced for July and September. Sea of Thieves fans will know that these were already scheduled for release during the summer months.
But now we've seen a trailer.
Yeah, there's a bit more information. There's a trailer, something about the new AI threats that are coming out there, new lands to explore. So it looks like they're going to really expand the content that's available. I hope it's enough, because so far I have
will
to admit...
Will that draw in a player base?
I don't think so. I think it might... The little tiny spikes, I think it's going to have to prove itself first.
I think they're going to
have to launch, and they're going to have to be re-reviewed and revisited. You're going to wait for those Sea of Thieves after 1 year, go back and review videos from popular YouTubers and streamers, and then it'll start to see a growth. But the problem is that even a justifiable model now? Like, look at No Man's
Games
Sky.
Games as a service sort of thing.
No Man's Sky is supposed to be super good right now. I own it. I don't play it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Because typically once a game passes the six-month mark, your chances of going back to play it again, pretty fucking low. I want it to be successful because friends of mine play it, you play it, Dr. Terawant plays it, Justin from Terrible Warriors plays it.
And I like it. It's fun. It does what it does well. There's just not enough to do.
So I'm hoping with these expansions in July and September, it's enough, and we'll have to wait and see what happens. Another thing that they announced in the Microsoft press conference, this was a surprise to me, Battletoads.
Yes.
But that's it. Battletoads.
You know, and you know it's going to happen, every GameStop and EB Games for the next year is going to be inundated with calls asking them if they have Battletoads.
I kind of wonder if that's what caused this. Hey, you think we should make new Battletoads? Well, it would piss off GameStop. Yes,
done.
Done. Call the studio. They also confirmed Just Cause 4.
Why?
It's got tornadoes. Who
just
cares?
Just cause.
They also... Gears of War announcements out the ass.
Yeah.
Gears
some,
of War
Some good,
Funko.
Some... What?
Yeah, Gears of War Funko. I was like, okay. And I think about this, and follow me on the train of thought. Is Funko not the next evolution in LEGO games? When you think about it, if you had to cutify a property... Funko's the next step.
Yeah, I think you can retain the initial feel of the characters a lot stronger with Funko than maybe you can with Lego.
Yeah.
Because whenever you Legofy anything, it becomes Lego.
Yeah, it's just
it doesn't really retain its original thing. You can identify a Funko Pop, but you can still tell it more so that it's the character than it is a Funko Pop.
See, and you know what sucks? And I am in the minority on this one. I assure you of this. Funko Pop's a mobile game. I kind of want that on console, even if it was like a $20 game. I'd kind of be down for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, do the whole Lego game thing that they do. Marvel Super Heroes 2 and the Star Wars games. Lego has a ton of games now.
Yeah.
Harry Potter, that was a good series. And they do it well, so why not bring it to consoles? I guarantee there's an audience.
Yeah, guarantee it. Like, you're right. Like I said, I'd buy it. They also announced Gears of War Tactics, which is like XCOM, but with Gears of War.
That looks cool.
That could be very interesting.
That's a good universe for it. Characters are strong. It's already kind of established that would work.
And basically, it's sort of, since they only announced one Halo title this year, if Gears is getting the Halo Wars treatment, I'm okay with this. Especially if they flesh out backstory, which they will, because I think this game is a prequel to the first Gears of War. So that's pure speculation. So, and they announced Gears 5. No surprise, but I think they dated it for next year, which that seems like a really short development time, because Gears 4 just came out last year.
Gears 5 is 2019.
Yeah, so that's probably holiday 2019, if I had to guess, because that'll be the one that'll move systems.
And a long-awaited game as well. It's the ultra-violent Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, we haven't seen a trailer for this since 2014. So it's been a couple of years since we've seen this.
It's a game that people thought was stuck in development hell.
Yep,
it was dead.
There are guys that take teams, or that take a while to make a game. These guys are the same people that made The Witcher and all its expansions and sequels, etc. Cyberpunk 2077, for those of you that don't know, is actually based upon a pen and paper role-playing game from Talorzian, which has been around since like the 80s, and its cyberpunk world, dude, is weird. You can play as a character known as a rocker boy. Literally, you're a rock star and you can draw fans to you, or you can play as a guy with a chainsaw arm or glowing tattoos. The world is weird.
It's just so bizarre, and it looks like there's so many violent things, like strangely violent things that you wouldn't really think about, surreal violence, and just, I don't know. It looks really intense.
It looks like the Shadowrun game that I want in real life, but have to settle for Shadowrun Returns. It looks like a Ghost in the Shell game, but without the anime influence. It's cyberpunk, and it looks cool. Now, it's too bad Microsoft didn't lock up exclusivity for this. It's really too bad. You want a game that'll move consoles? That's the one that'll do it.
People have been waiting for this game, so if you put it on Xbox, you're going to have Xbox sales.
But if it's going to be multi-platform, I'm glad everybody gets to play, because the cyberpunk world, it's weird, like I've said, but it's an interesting world nonetheless that everyone should probably check out. So hopefully everyone will get a chance to play this when it comes out. Now, the game hasn't been dated, which is worrying. But the fact that we got a new trailer this year, Alex said in his predictions, probably next summer. I'm predicting 2020. We'll wait and see. We'll probably see. Maybe there'll be more stuff at the Sony press conference. Who knows? Or maybe later on this week. Maybe it's on the floor. I doubt it. I really doubt it. But we'll have to wait and see. Also, Microsoft acquired a bunch of new studios. They acquired Undead Labs, which just did State of Decay 2. They acquired Ninja Theory, which is... I know that name. So forgive me for not giving examples of games that they've developed. They also showed off We Happy Few, which is a developer based in Quebec.
That looks interesting.
That looks cool now. I remember it came out with early access, and Alex was saying on Twitter that it was a buggy mess, and people were like, "Urgh, pitchforks." and we're very pissy about it.
If it works, the story looks really good.
It looks cool.
Like it's a dystopian, but
future controlled by drugs.
Exactly. Like a drug called joy, and these masks that kind of force you to be happy. That sound, it's so like George Orwell.
It sounds more like a movie than a game.
It does, and I kind of like that.
I know, like it's one of those games. Definitely gonna pick it up. It'll be available on Xbox Games Pass for sure, which that's something Microsoft doubled down on today. They talked about Xbox Live Games Pass. $10 a month, but it's $1 for your first month. And today, as of today, you get The Division, Elder Scrolls Online, Tamriel, and you get Fallout 4, plus 100 other Xbox titles via backwards compatibility. And there's something called Fast Start now. It gives you the first hour of the game, and then the rest of it downloads in the background super quick. So people can just jump right in and play.
Cool.
Cool service. I get most of my games for free, full disclosure. So it's not worth it for me yet, because most of the games that are on Xbox Games Pass, I've already beaten. But for those of you who don't, if you bought a used Xbox, this is a reason to own a system, because it's like Netflix, and you're getting day one releases. You're getting Crackdown on release, Forza on release, Sea of Thieves on release, State of Decay on release, day one. And they're working with more third-party publishers to get more games day of release. So imagine if they had Just Cause 4. Imagine if they had, this is pie in the sky here. Imagine if they had Cyberpunk.
Yeah, just
day one.
With all these games coming out now in this calendar, there's so many options for Game Pass to really bring people in.
Like one of our former contributor to the show, friend of the show, Lee, works at a major big box retailer, and he was worried about Game Pass. Is this going to hurt his brick and mortar store? And I think Games Pass could very well be a threat. It needs to be advertised more. Because if Microsoft didn't talk about it, and it wasn't on my Xbox Live dashboard, I wouldn't know about it. I don't hear TV commercials for it. I don't see print ads for it.
I didn't understand how it worked for the longest time. I thought it was more of like a try before you buy service where...
Kind of like EA Origins, right?
Yeah, you can pay a certain amount and you can play this game for a limited time.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I thought it was too. And I'm saying, oh, it's like Netflix but for games. I get that. But nobody knows about it. So that's a way to move systems. So let's talk about the final thing here. So what is Microsoft going to do? What's the game that's going to move systems this year? The exclusives this year that have been announced or are out right now: Sea of Thieves, State of Decay, Forza Horizon 4, and those are three that I can name. What would make you buy an Xbox One X?
The problem, Sea of Thieves isn't a true exclusive. It's available on PC.
Windows 10, yeah.
And being a player of Sea of Thieves, one of the questions that comes up in the groups that I form is what are you playing on? And most of the time it's PC. And the people that say they're playing on Xbox say, oh, I wish I was playing on PC. I don't know why. I mean, they're both good for the Sea of Thieves. Like, yes, there is aiming and shooting, and keyboard and mouse is always better for that because your accuracy is better. But that's not going to move an Xbox because it's already available elsewhere. Forza, we already discussed, it's not going to move systems. It's just an iteration. It's a new, a slightly prettied up version of a game that already exists.
And they're talking about PUBG later on this year, which I guess new map, but who cares?
There's so many battle royales out there, and yes, PUBG is one of the originals, but it's fallen behind.
It's going to lose to Fortnite.
It already has, if you ask me.
Yeah, absolutely. I see nobody streaming it on Twitch. Everybody is streaming Fortnite right now.
Yeah, everything's all about Fortnite because it's more approachable and it's more...
Plus, they just had the big deal with Marvel and Thanos mode.
Yeah.
That's huge.
And then PUBG is just kind of over there. And I'm sure it's still successful in its own right and financially stable, but It's not popular like it used to be. It nope. is no longer in the number one slot on Twitch and hasn't been for a long time.
Yeah, it all comes down to Fortnite and silly dances now. So final thoughts here, or final predictions. Sony, what's coming up?
What does Sony have in the bag? I really, and I know it's a fantasy, but I really want them to talk about what their plans are for crossplay.
Yeah. My big prediction, something involving backwards compatibility, because they're losing that fucking fight. Because PlayStation Now, it works, but who cares?
There's not enough on it.
Yeah, there's not enough on it, and you're not going to pay for it.
Like, they're falling behind Nintendo on this, and Nintendo's kind of, as it is, when it comes to their backwards compatibility. They had the Virtual Console and the Wii, and now they just kind of don't.
Yeah, they just discontinued it. I mean, you want to play your old games, you have your 3DS for that, and that's it.
Yeah, and if you're falling behind that bar, then you've got some problems.
Yeah. I mean, one thing that's been rumored, the Resident Evil 2 remake is going to make an appearance. Please, for the love of all that is holy, show me this. It's been talked about for years. I want to see it. I want it dated. Hell, you want to blow my ass away? Resident Evil 2 remake, Halloween. I don't have a leg. I'm walking to EB Games. Take my money, sir. Like, I would be so impressed if they had that. Or they need more information about Final Fantasy VII.
Yes. That needs a date. That has just been sitting there and rotting and festering for so long. Like, so long. For years it's been, yes, we're making it. Here's this trailer thing, which was amazing, and I creamed myself when I saw it. And it just stopped.
Yeah. It was again. It'll be out eventually. Like, do you not, like, man, would the perfect job not be to live in Japan and be on the Final Fantasy VII team? Because you've got a guaranteed job for like 15 years.
Yeah, you just like, get to sit there and get paid to just pretend to make stuff for a long time. I don't understand why it's taking as long as it is to develop on stuff like this. They don't have to write.
Yeah, the storyline's done. I'm sure maybe
a little bit of tweaks here and there to make things make more sense, because there was a lot of poor translation and certain events that just didn't line up with, like, what? I thought this was this, but it's actually that. And so cleaning some of that up, but that doesn't take long.
Yeah.
And why do you need so much, like, new system here and a new mini game there and change this system and make it entirely different? And I understand it's a remake, not a remaster, but the game already exists.
Yeah. I mean, like, follow the framework and do it. I mean, this isn't, you're not reinventing the wheel. Trying to think of what else I'd want to see out of Sony.
Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, I guarantee you there'll be something from the Square press conference.
Probably just be Final Fantasy 15 something something something.
Yeah, something remastered, reborn, whatever.
They'll have the letter X somewhere in the title because they love using the letter X and things. Brave Exvius.
I'm predicting spring 2019, The Last of Us 2 dated.
The second Last of Us.
My God, that game. That's another game. Very nearly brought me to tears. Blair, my wife, told me, Mike, stop playing this. It's upsetting you. Because there's a point in the story, I'm sorry, it's been years gone now, you spoiler territory, where you make a decision and whether to tell the truth, I think, to Ellie, where her brain, like, because she's immune to the cordyceps, and Joel doesn't tell her that you could have saved the world. He's like, nope. Like, she's like, did anything happen? Nope. And it's so sad. And when you play the DLC, knowing her friend's infected and she's infected, and Ellie has to kill her friend, and you wonder why she's so fucked up. And it's just like, The Last of Us is a beautiful game. There's another point too, where you come across a base, and it's in a sewer, and you see bodies or body bags in a children's area.
Oh, geez.
And on a wall, on a note, it's scrawled, I did what I could, they didn't suffer. And that's some grim, dark shit. But I was left to the point, like, you guys can't see my face now, but I'm doing the
Like, holy.
Oh my God. Holy shit, you went there. You can't kill kids. But that's the world that we live in now. Thank you, Walking Dead, I guess. But anyway, what's something you want to come true from Nintendo?
From Nintendo? I needed to know more information about the core RPG Pokemon game in 2019.
Yeah.
I think it's coming because we're in the season now in Pokemon. They've already announced that it exists. So we need information as to what it is. Maybe not like a full reveal trailer, just give us a name. That's all I want from that. I want to know more about the next Legend of Zelda. I know it's a little early for that, but they said they are going to put out a second one for the Switch.
See, I wonder if that's a little soon, but then again, considering how much money Breath of the Wild made, I can't... You'll see something. Guaranteed you'll see at least a logo. Because Nintendo likes to do that for some reason.
Yeah, here's a logo. Here's just a minimal amount of information. Take that and go fanboy out somewhere else.
Yeah.
And as for something a little more campy, and Nintendo is lighthearted, I want to know what's next for Mario Party.
I think you'll see a Mario Party this year for Christmas. I really do. I really do. For myself... A true virtual console. They've been saying, no, we're done with the virtual console. No, you're not. Because you just released a GameCube controller. Don't fucking lie to me. You're going to release GameCube
games. This is the ultimate system for this. There's adaptability.
Yeah, I mean, and portability too. Because the fact that you can put, like, what? Like, 256 gigs in this thing? Or something like that? Like, ludicrous number.
It's good support for space and storage.
And it's so portable. Like... There's got to be something, like, and there's going to be a firmware update later on this year that'll activate those USB ports to make it 3.0 compliant. So, there's got to be something. My pie in the sky, once again, gameplay, actual gameplay, and a full, real trailer, Metroid 4. That's what I want. I got Return of Samus last year. Give me Metroid 4 this year. None of this Galaxy Force. Hell, did that game come out?
I don't know. It fell off the face of the world.
Federation Force. Like, fuck off. Metroid Soccer. Go suck my ass. This got really bitter really quickly. Speaking of things that are bitter, we're going to take a jaunt down the grocery aisle of Satan himself, and we're going to throw things over to Satan's pantry. We'll be back right after this with a review of I didn't make the movie, but Warner Brothers Home Entertainment's 12 Strong. We'll be back after this with the extra of the show. Stay tuned to Twig, the flagship of stupidity.
You shouldn't review your own movies, man.
I know, it's like I'm biased or something.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig! It's inedible!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, exclusively here on Twig, where we sail into this ocean of idiocy, but today we decided to pull up port into your grocer's aisle, where we find the delightful, the delicious, the downright fucking vile. And in today's, we're trying something called Tazza Lychee Drink with basil seeds. I don't quite know how I feel about this, because I think I like lychee. I'm not 100% sure.
Well, that's what those seeds are in there.
Well, supposedly they're basil seeds, and I always thought basil was like a spaghetti type spice or something.
Yeah, it goes in a variety of, like, Italian, Asian dishes.
Basil is part of the mint family.
They look like dead fruit flies.
See?
This drink looks like dead fruit flies.
And when I say it tastes like mint, Curtis, you know Curtis, doesn't believe me. I'm like, that's related
plants.
Yeah.
So I'm smelling this. Either I'm drinking this out of a red Solo cup, and it smells either like fucking dishwater or something else. All right, bottoms up.
Fair enough.
It kind of reminds me of that jelly drink we had a few weeks ago. It's not terrible. The most unappetizing thing about this is how it looks. Like I said, it looks like dead motherfucking fruit flies, but it tastes like that jelly drink. But sweeter.
It doesn't even have a texture. You don't really notice the basil seeds. You can kind of crunch them in your teeth, but they don't like roll over the tongue or have a thickness.
Yeah, it's not bad, actually. It's pretty good, I'd say. I'm actually pretty impressed.
I lied about the texture. It is a little jellyish, but...
Yeah.
Are we trying this?
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Yeah, it's kind of like Orbitz, but less gross.
It's fruity. It's sweet. It's a little bit chewy.
That's pretty good. I don't usually like things floating around in my drink other than ice.
Yeah.
But it's got a good, it's got the good lychee flavor.
They're not too big. The little bits aren't too large.
Yeah, like I'm trying to do like a gulp and swallow, not trying to chew.
Yeah, kind of swinging your tongue around a little in there is a little bit weird, but if you just take it back, it's not so bad.
Yeah. I'd say overall, this was actually a pretty successful Satan's Pantry. I really didn't know what to expect out of lychee because I've had it just a few times before and I thought it was okay.
Every time I've had it, I've loved it. I just never go out of my way to get it because it's not really that common.
I think I'd like it better without the things floating in it. Otherwise, I'd drink that.
I'd like to try both to see if the basil seeds do add anything to the flavor as like opposed to the texture.
It's stuck in my throat right now.
Yeah, I can feel it stuck in my gums. And it's kind of annoying. But, so, Tazza lychee drink with basil seeds, I guess.
Success.
Success. It gets a thumbs up from us here. Yes, this is a Warriors drink. So, anyway, until next time, where we go down your grocer's international aisle, we'll be back here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Take us out, Gordon Ramsay.
Fuck me. Fuck off.
Fucking bimbo.
We are looking at 12 Strong from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment. And this is a movie that I really wanted to see in theaters. Unfortunately, I was in the hospital at the time dealing with my amputation. And this actually is based upon a true story. This is about Operational Detachment 595, a group of real soldiers who actually went into Afghanistan just after the 9/11 terrorist attacks, who basically went in there to help maintain the Northern Alliance to get people to come together to help fight against the Taliban and Al-Qaeda guys. And they only went in with 12 soldiers. And these guys had 3 weeks to complete what should have been a six-week operation, but they had to do it in 3 weeks due to potentially weather closing in on them. So the main guy, Chris Hemsworth, a guy named Mitch, tells one of the generals, "I'll do it for you in 3 weeks because we don't have a lot of time." And they're like, "Yeah, right. We'll see if you can do it." So he takes in 12 guys and they're helped out by the local people. But they're like, "Look, there's no motorcycles. There's no Jeeps. We have no armor. You got to ride horses if you want to get to where we're going. Hop on the back of Mr. Ed here and let's rock and roll." And what you get is a pretty cool war movie. I was actually rather entertained by this movie the entire way through. Now, I'm a guy who loves sound design, and hearing the gunfights in this was really cool. Hearing the bombs and the missiles go off all around the room, it was really neat. And because this isn't a action movie per se, it's a war movie, firefights are not like John McClane jumping through the air with akimbo pistols or Call of Duty, where it's a one-man wrecking crew. No, you're actually seeing how these soldiers would perform and whatnot. And it's cool. I really did enjoy this movie overall. And there is the guy that leads Chris Hemsworth, Michael Shannon. I really liked his performance in this. At one point, he does get really badly hurt. But the cool thing about Op 595 is they never lost a guy. Nobody suffered a casualty. And they all came home, which I think is an incredible bit of military history. Just the fact that they were able to accomplish this operation to take out major Taliban armor using air support. They were able to call it in. And just, it's cool. Like, I'm a big military guy, and I actually had a lot of fun watching this movie. Now, that being said, there are two special features on the disc. There's the making of, which is your standard, I would call it a fluff piece, but you do get more talks with the actual soldier saying, "Yeah, here's the guy who played me," which is pretty cool. And the other feature was something I was a lot more invested in than I thought I would be. It was the making of the horse soldier statue, which I think actually stands at 9/11, talking about the first responders the second responders that were on the ground in Afghanistan just after the terrorist attack. And it's got the soldier on the back of the horse. I had no idea this even existed. And it's cool how they go through the process of casting the statue, of how they use like 3D printing with it, and then eventually they cast it in like statue materials. I think it was like bronze or steel or something. And just all the little details. That was actually really cool. And if you want to go see the statue, you can actually go see it in New York City. So 12 strong. Can I recommend it? Absolutely. Now here's the big question. Is it worth a buy? I'm going to say no, simply because I don't think you're going to go back to watch this movie more than once or twice. That being said, is it a strong rental? Absolutely. I mean, if you can get this via Amazon or the Cineplex store or wherever your favorite rental service is, this is absolutely worth a watch. I really do think so. Don't wait for this to show up on a streaming service. Plop down a few bucks, give this movie a watch. It's definitely worth a rent. As for buying, like I said, if you're a military buff, maybe, but I think you're really going to get something out of watching it. So that's 12 Strong from Warner Brothers Home Entertainment.
Thank you for that review. And like many movies, I have a hard time convincing myself to buy them. I find myself just renting them or waiting for them to come out on Netflix.
See, and that's why like, I miss having Redbox in Canada.
Yeah.
I genuinely do. But that's why we have Rogers On Demand and the Cineplex store, which is, but it's just not the same.
It really isn't. Going to Blockbuster, too. I miss going to Blockbuster.
I know. You know what I miss about Blockbuster specifically? Going out on a Friday night, seeing the wall of movies. There's like 50 of them. Almost all of them are gone. But going to the Blockbuster candy section. Do you remember those Blockbuster branded popcorn buckets?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and the candy? I miss that. That was so much fun.
In Georgetown, we had a Jumbo Video, too. And you would go there and you would browse for movies while eating the popcorn they had there. And you know it was so dirty. But it smelled and tasted so good.
Oh,
I miss
God.
Jumbo Video more than I miss Blockbuster, I think. Blockbuster had better selection, but Jumbo had popcorn.
Man, we I think maybe one of these days we'll do like a Twig Unplugged and we'll talk about the summer. Just what our memories are and just some of the fun times we had during the summer. Because I remember
we grew up in different cities, so I think there's some stories that can be shared there.
Yeah, all right. So, yeah, maybe closer towards the end of this month when we want a week where we take a week off of the regular news, we're going to do a Twig Unplugged. So there'll be no news, no reviews. It'll be just us talking. Maybe that'll be our Canada Day special, actually.
Yeah, learn a little about us.
Yeah.
Where we come from. Why we're so fucking weird.
Good time. So anyway, guys, hopefully you've enjoyed our reviews of Detroit Become Human, 12 Strong, the lychee candy we had this week on Satan's Pantry, and our extended discussion on E3. We will have another E3 special coming up where we talk about Sony, Bethesda, Ubisoft, Square Enix, and Nintendo. That'll be me and Alex. Look for that on Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. We should have a Turd or Treasure coming up. Probably not this week, probably next week, just because Alex's brother's graduating. The guy works for Google, so you know he's going to be super busy. So, but anyway, for This Week in Geek, we have been
Mr. Christopher.
I've been Mike the Birdman Dodson. Live free or die hard, and keep it locked here to Twig, the flagship of Stupid.
Ben, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at @twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.